There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart, and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's another live show on a Wednesday night. Today's date is the 21st of March, 2012, just about 20 seconds after 8 o'clock Central Time. Now, remember, folks, around the world, we have people listening in several countries, and we got a lot of people that listening during the week. By the way, thank you very much. Jim's going to be here just a second. This is BJ talking. And remember that in the United States, for some reason or another, we turn the clocks back an hour in the spring. And so a lot of you may be disappointed because you're going to log on to listen to the show and you're going to say, why did they start an hour early? So up until the fall of 2012 through the spring and summer months, the show will be starting for anybody that is not in the United States will be starting at 7 o'clock, not 8 o'clock. So make sure that you make a note of that. Let's talk about wants and needs, because a lot of people don't understand when I tell them that I want a Rice Krispie squares, that I want cookies. And they say, well, what do you mean you want them? And I say, I need them. And they say, well, you don't need Rice Krispie squares. You don't need cookies. You want them. Well, let's talk about wants and needs when it comes to your spirit and when it comes to things of this world and the flesh, because this really boils down to, folks, tonight's show. You're really going to understand, are you really going to a church or are you just going to a quote-unquote building? You hardly ever hear me say the word church because there's just not very many churches out there. They're mostly buildings full of rules, regulations, religion, doctrine. They don't really help you with your spirit because you have a spiritual need and it gets drowned out by worldly flesh wants. Because so much of the time, what you think is a really good prayer is you're just asking for a want and it's not a need, because you know it's a prayer, because in Scripture it says, ask and you shall receive. There's no delay. There's not a time. There's nowhere in Scripture that it says, well, you ask for it today and you'll get it next Tuesday or when I get around to it, because me, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we've decided to go bowling on a Tuesday. No, it doesn't work like that. So if your prayers aren't being answered, possibly they're not prayers because it isn't a need, it's a want. Jim, welcome to your show. And by the way, you're on the road. You're where are you?
I'm in Branson, Missouri, BJ. It's very wet and somewhat cold, but I'm with my family and we're enjoying a couple of days on spring break. So we're in Branson, Missouri tonight and I'm in a hotel room. And okay. It's going to be a great night.
Did you move from where you were before the show started?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now all of a sudden you're back. You were just a little distorted, but we could hear that you were in Branson, Missouri, and you're there with your family. But comment on the opening to the show that I just made about wants and needs, because you can actually back that up with Scripture, can't you?
Well, I can. I was going to share here in Galatians 5. And verse 16, where Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So Paul's trying to help us make a great divide. We've talked about this in some other areas earlier on in the year, but I think this is a tremendous way to, again, bring this subject up, and it's through the idea of wants and needs. In fact, BJ, we had a great talk the other day at the ranch concerning this subject.
We did. And because a lot of people get confused, because a lot of times when people think something is of the flesh or of this world, that it has to do with something sinful or sexual or something to do with a murder or a crime. But it really doesn't, because there's so many things that are considered of the flesh and of this world that people would consider passive, or it wouldn't even dawn on them that possibly it is a want, and it doesn't even come close to a need, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think right away, maybe we'll need to just elaborate some more on the whole want and need. And I can do that with some scripture back in Genesis, because, you know, for a lot of people, the whole idea of financial prosperity comes down to everybody fulfilling all of their wants. But the real truth of scripture seems to indicate that God is more interested in the kingdom of God being fulfilled upon the earth than what earth has evolved into today with all the frivolous things that are available for people to get swallowed up in. And that becomes the difference between needs and wants. In fact, BJ, give me an example, that, and then I'll back it up here with scripture, of needs and wants.
Well, okay. A spiritual need would be that you want to be, when you want to have a closer relationship with Christ, you want to really just drown yourself in grace, and you want to not just read spiritually, not talk spiritually, but you want to live spiritually, and there's a hunger deep inside you that you can't explain, and it's not heartache, and it's not a headache, and it's not gas pains from grandma's chicken casserole or anything like that. It's a hollow feeling that the only time that it feels that it's being satisfied is when you're really focusing and concentrating on having a relationship with God. That is a spiritual need. That's what they feel like. Now, a worldly want would be when I'll give you a great example. Perfect example is credit cards. You get a credit card in the mail, or your credit card's maxed out, and the credit card company gives you a $5,000 boost, or it's a brand new card, and you use this card to go out to restaurants and to buy socks and underwear and more shoes and all these things, and all of a sudden, you have another bill, and you actually literally, you will go to a building, you'll get on your hands and knees with tears running down your face, you clasp your hands, you're basically squeezing the life out of a Bible in your lap, and you're clutching it, and you're saying, please, Lord, help me. Help me financially. Help me get out of this situation. Well, it isn't even a prayer, because you spent money. See, Christ could care less about money and finances. I mean, because it talks about, don't worry about your clothes or their food or where you sleep or what you do. It will be provided for you, because I take care of the birds and the bees and the mice and the rats. So I'm going to take care of you. But when you have 14 pairs of shoes in a closet, that is a little much, because you don't need 14 pairs of shoes, but you want 14 pairs of shoes, and your worldly wants put you in financial straits, and then you ask Christ to help you with that. That's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. It's totally ridiculous, and it's also spiritually ridiculous to pray for healing, because you're praying for something that doesn't exist spiritually. It only exists worldly. Your knee hurts in this world because spiritually you don't have a knee, because you don't need a knee. The knee is only required in this world, and there is nothing good of this world. There's nothing good in this world, and the only prayers that are answered are spiritual-based prayers. Then obviously, you're asking for something that has already been paid for by Jesus' blood on the cross.
Yes,
And so it's not even redundant. It's not a repeat. It doesn't. It's literally like being 65 years old, and you're asking for another high school diploma. It's a waste of time. You don't need it.
Right. Right.
Back this up for me.
Well, this is really good here in Genesis chapter 2, and I think it'll shed some light on why we're talking about this subject. God talked to Adam and Eve. They're in the garden, and he said in verse 15, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.'" All right, well, this is a really interesting thought. In fact, BJ, you brought it up when we were talking at the ranch, and it was one of those comments as we were talking that just all of a sudden sent, you know, just signals in me. And
yeah, it's about
oh, my goodness.
It's about when I said Adam and Eve didn't need an apple. They wanted an apple.
Exactly, exactly. Now, their needs were taken, and the reason why I read the scripture before, verse 16, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." That, right there, is an abundance of their needs being met.
Right.
And that's something that I do want everybody to know, is the scripture is full of reference that shows that God is a very abundant God. Remember, in the realm of the Spirit, there is no limit. And so for things that are necessary for our life, there's no limit. The limits really come from man, not from God. So when you see it says here, of any tree in the garden you can freely eat, what does that tell you? All of man's needs were met. So for him to stand in front of a tree and to take a bite of an apple of a tree that he didn't need that fruit,
right,
to sustain him, to help him in any way, shape, or form. But again, BJ, what does it come down to? It comes down from an unclean desire or a want. And this is extremely important for people to see, that wants will always put you in a category of most likely compromising what your spirit needs to walk with God.
Yeah, it's real interesting, because what people, one of the, and I say this all the time, and I've it's probably a mistake that I've never mentioned it on the show, is that people like to take the Bible literally and apply it to their daily life, because they're unhappy, their life hasn't turned out the way they've wanted, they've had a lot of issues, a lot of problems, and they know that there is grace, they know that it's there, they're just trying to tap into it, and there's nothing wrong with thinking that, and there's nothing wrong with wanting that. That's part of the need. But what they don't realize is that how far off civilization has clicked itself from what I like to call real north, due north.
Right.
Because
right.
if you really think about when scriptures were penned, when they were written, and the way civilization was and the way society was, almost literally, almost every single person in this country that has a 40-hour-a-week job would be considered a very wealthy person in biblical times. And they don't understand that that wealth and riches and the things that they think they should have, they think that they should literally be able to drop to their knees on the side of their bed, close their eyes, and in the morning be as wealthy as Donald Trump.
Right.
And unfortunately, they're being misled by buildings to think that such a thing is important, and that's even, and shame on those buildings and the people standing in front of the pulpits for letting people believe such a ridiculous thing is even important.
Well, I think these scriptures right here help us. In fact, we've used some scriptures in Genesis before concerning the body, which was, very interestingly, when man sinned, the first thing that he recognized was that he had a body. Which says a lot of different things, but one of the things that it says is you're going to have to be careful about the needs or the wants. Here we go again. We're talking about these two, of your body, Because if your body was the first thing that man recognized when he sinned, then the body will be a source of temptation to lead you into sin. Again, that's a revelation. We need to understand that. The same thing is true here in Genesis 2, that God would say, I've got all your needs covered, and man would sin as a result of wants, which then goes right back to, this is another very important key in us protecting our heart. BJ, remember that scripture over there in Proverbs 4, verse 23, after Solomon, who's very smart, he said, give your attention to God, make sure you look at the Word, make sure your ears are listening to what He says, find those things in your heart for their life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Verse 23 said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. We're being given a command there to guard something that's very precious, and that is our spiritual relationship with God. And wants have the ability to completely drown you in the world. Isn't that so?
Oh, it happens to everybody. See, once you understand, I want you to think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Just take a deep breath. Don't get confused by this. Don't be intimidated by it. This is actually, tonight's show is actually going to really help you a lot, I think, as far as getting closer to Christ. Think about this. Once you sit down and take a deep breath and say, is this something that I really need? Do I have to have it? Am I going to die? Am I going to starve? Am I going to be hurt, sick? Or is this something that I want? And then all of a sudden, you're going to realize that 99.9% of the times, it does fall under a want. But the problem is that we're so bound in this world and of this flesh that we try to rationalize and manipulate a want and twist it like a hot pretzel.
Yeah, that's right.
Into a need. Because if you're going out, if everybody at work is going out for lunch and the overwhelming majority of them are two income households or they're single people with no children, and you are a single parent, single income household, and you usually pack your lunch, and you really can't afford to go to a Chinese buffet or some chain restaurant for a $10 lunch when it only costs you $1.95 to pack a lunch, and you feel left out. And you want to go, so you go and you put that on your debit card or your credit card and you say it doesn't hurt to do this a couple times a week. And all of a sudden you realize two times a week is about $23 plus the gas of driving and carpooling. And every once in a while you buy something else. And at the end of the month, you realize you just lost $150 and you've wasted your lunch money. And then all of a sudden you ask for help from Christ, you're mistaken, because that was envy, it was jealous, it was a worldly thing.
Right.
Because if you would have just sat there and said, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to have this stupid, ridiculous tuna fish sandwich and a stale bag of Fritos and a cupcake that the dog sat on in the minivan this morning, but I'm grateful for the food, I appreciate it, and I'm glad to be in your world, I promise you there are dividends that you will receive because of that. Because the closer you become to God, the less you pray, not the more you pray. Because think about it. Think of it as a child-parent relationship. When do you have to call home? When do you really need your parents? When you were in school and in college and you were first living on your own? All the time. But the closer you got to home, once you were in your hometown, once you were on the street, once you were walking in the yard, once you walked in your parents' house, you felt better. Once you were in your old bed and you were in your own bathroom and you were in mom's refrigerator, all of a sudden, you didn't have any wants. You didn't even have any needs. Why? It was all provided for you because you were
home.
Because you were home. Now, apply that to Christ. Apply that to a spirit being. Apply that to being closer to heaven. And all of a sudden, you're going to realize that wants and needs is as different as an orange and a sledgehammer.
That's right. Yeah, as nice today.
Help me out with scripture with this.
Well, over in Mark chapter 4 is a great little passage talking about the Word of God, its effectiveness to produce, as in other words, someone takes the Bible, the recipe we've called it, and they put it to practice and they bake something and they have an answer to prayer. Okay, it says here that the Bible has been preached, in other words, information's been given so a person could make some type of a meal from a recipe. And it says, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. So in this particular setting, no crop equals no answer to prayer. And Jesus, in verse 19, explains what this parable was all about. And he said, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So Jesus gave a warning because of the things that were in this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of this world. Now, BJ, this is what's really interesting, and I just want to, again, make some comparison and to this world right here and what was taking place in the day of Christ. Now, for Jesus to say back then, be careful of the deceitfulness of riches, be careful for the cares of this world and a desire for many things. Well, first of all, BJ, back then, how difficult was life? I mean, pretty simple. How many things did they have? Like, could they go to a dollar store and have a million things in a dollar store? It's like, no, maybe one or two things. How much riches were going on? There wasn't a lot of it. I mean, some had great wealth, but most, like you said, lived in a very easy income.
It goes to what I always tell you. I say that, you know, and it's funny because people say, well, tell me, you know, people like to come up to me and ask me questions, and I'll say, okay, tell me some of the sins. What do you think a sin is? And I'll say electricity, my four-wheel drive truck, my tractor, air conditioning, satellite television, microwave ovens, you know, dry cleaners, washers and dryers. And they look at me and they say, you're stupid. How can a washer and a dryer be sin? How can air conditioning be sin? And I sit there and I says, anything that man makes on this planet, I promise you, you can debate it. But it can be, when it's boiled down to gravy and you chew it finer than fine, it takes you away from your relationship with God. And the reason is because electricity really hasn't done man one bit of good. It has separated us from each other. It has separated us from the creatures. I mean, folks, people ask me why I'm never sick. They always ask why I'm in a good mood. Well, number one, I stay away from people. I'm on a huge hundreds of acres of ranch land in Oklahoma, but I spend my time in nature with animals, God's creatures. And it says right in scripture, we're supposed to take care of the environment. We're supposed to manage animals and be one with them. You know, and I've told you this before, Jim. I said, you know, I don't have any American Indian blood in me, not one single drop. And I don't subscribe to it, and I don't go to Indian casinos. But the point being is that American Indians, there's a certain part of their life that Christians could really get a real good education from. And it was is that they believed that everything, whether it was a tree, an owl, a mouse, a snake, a deer, a bear, an eagle, that everything had a spirit. That everything had a tangible energy to it, and that you could benefit from it, and there was a level of communication. Well, that can be applied spiritually to Christ.
Yes.
And a connection. And somebody will say, well, no, it doesn't. I says, really? If there isn't a connection between animals and man, and it isn't profound, then why in Genesis was the serpent punished by taking its legs away? And God said, well, you're going to have to slither on the ground, and you're going to be a pain in man's heel for eternity. if there was not supposed to be a symbiotic relationship between this earth, between the plants and the animals and human beings? Why? We're all God's creation. We were made in His image. And the farther that you get away from natural living, the more wrapped up you are in the world, and it becomes greedy. Yeah. Because if you have air conditioning and you're in the house all the time, what are you going to want? More food to eat because you're bored. You're going to want a comfortable place to sit, nicer furniture. You're going to want more channels on cable TV. You're going to want a radio, a video recorder, a DVR. You're going to want a vacuum cleaner because you're in the house and it's always dusty. Before you know it, you're buying all these material things, which means that you have to go out and spend more money. And so now all of a sudden, you're so busy trying to maintain life that you can't enjoy your life.
Can't enjoy it. Yeah, well,
back this up.
Yeah, Matthew 6, Jesus made these comments here in verse 30. He said, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be worrying, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" In other words, over the necessities. "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." I like that part. He knows what we need. He's very well equipped and has our needs handled. And it goes on to say, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So folks, as you're listening to this, let me just add this particular side of it as you're listening to BJ share some of these things that really have some tremendous spiritual wealth to them. And that is, remember, this program is, it's not about having three houses on the French Riviera. I don't have a problem with someone that has one there. My point is, this program is about you having a closer relationship with God. And it's so important for us to have a spiritual connection with the Lord that it's not tarnished by this world. So when we begin to go into these things and get nitpicky, it's not to try to make anybody feel bad. It's to help you begin to open up your mind and begin to see the possibilities that God has for you and your heart to experience Him. So let me share another scripture with you that I know is going to be very, very important to you. And that is a verse of scripture here in Luke and chapter 18. And I'm going to go over here. I'm just turning to my Bible. Luke chapter 18. You might do good as well to go there with me. BJ, you're going to like this one. I don't know that we've talked about this one before, but this is very straightforward. And notice what it says in verse 25. It goes on to say, and Jesus made these comments. In fact, I'm going to back up to 24. "And when Jesus saw that, he became very sorrowful," talking about the man who was rich. In fact, if you don't mind, I think we have the time, and then we'll go ahead and take a break here in just a moment. He was talking about a man that was very rich, and I'm going to read you the scripture, and we'll come back to it right after this break. But listen to what it says. "And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, 'How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.'" And I'm going to explain that when we come back, and I believe there's some things that BJ has to share with you.
Yeah, folks, I wanted to mention that the email is you can email us, and we just received an email, Jim. I want to read this to you real quick. She's emailed the show before. This is from Valerie. She lives in San Antonio, Texas. And she sent this literally about 5 minutes ago. It says, "Jim, I want to relate to you how greatly your series, Until I Come, is a blessing to me. I finished reading the book and listening to the CDs some time ago, but have begun going through them again. I went to sleep listening to it. When I awoke about 3:30 a.m., I started in again. I get so blessed interacting with the message that I end up staying awake for hours, praying and weeping, etc. The series is so anointed. I thank the Lord for your faithfulness in allowing him to share with us what he has revealed to you. I have other materials from you, and I'm so grateful for them all. Of course, I'm always just bursting with desire to share everything and learn with others. I just can't help myself. I love you guys. Keep up the good work. And then she signed it, Valerie. You know, isn't that a nice email to you?
Yeah, it really is. Valerie has been real faithful to comment and give us some great thoughts. So
you know,
I appreciate that, Valerie.
Folks, speaking of emails, that's just the Abiding Presence at theabidingpresence.com. And also, there is a P.O. box if you wanted to send a note in an envelope, send whatever you want is great. And I want to say something to you folks, because somebody asked me a question the other day. I was at the feed store and they listened to the show and they said, you know, you and Jim never ask for any money. And I says, well, we're not doing this for money. If we were doing it for money, I'd have a commercial that said free Bibles for $12, you know, or like a Revelation oven mitts or the Last Supper cookware, you know, or something like that, pool and pan, you know, John the Baptist pool and patio furniture or something. And they just laughed and they says, well, I want to give gifts to you. And I says, well, they says, what would you do with it? And I says, well, I says, I think the only thing that we would do is we would use it to, pay for the radio show, just to pay for it. I mean,
sure.
There's no salaries. It's just me and you. But I mean, we buy the airtime, you know, and that's this radio show is like renting a car. We're renting airtime at a radio station. So that's,
right.
You know, but I said, you want to throw something in the mail, you can help pay for the rental on the radio studio. I says, other than that, you know, I don't know, you know. And by the way, Fred, we haven't heard from Fred in Germany. So if anybody knows where Fred is, we hope he's okay. Hope he's doing well. Okay. Now you're talking about how it talks about don't worry about what you wear, what you eat, what you sleep, what you are, and who you are. That goes right back to what I'm talking about. The closer you are to nature, the closer you are to Christ, the farther away you are from material things and being of the flesh and of this world.
Right.
Because I think it's really a shame when I see people. I mean, it's just there are casinos all over Oklahoma. They're everywhere. They're out in the middle of nowhere. You'll see a casino, and I like casinos because they have all you can eat buffets, and you can go in there and you can just eat pie for supper, and you don't get kicked out for just eating pie, which is really cool. But the thing that I think is I literally have seen people clutching a Bible. I've seen people praying in front of a gambling machine. And I've gone up to them and I've says, can I ask you a question? And they say, yes. And I say, are you a Christian? And they say, yes, I am. And then I say, what are you doing? And I says, are you praying? And they go, yes, I need money and I'm praying. And I says, can I ask you one more question? I says, yes. And I says, well, these casinos are really nice and they have really great pie and ice cream and cake. And I says, do you know why? And they go, what? And I says, do you know why? And they go, why? And I says, because this is a business. I says, this is not a place to pray. You're praying for something and I says, did you ever think that maybe the Holy Spirit is right here with you? And he's saying, you're asking for money. And at the same time, you're asking me for money. You're putting money in a machine that you're not going to get out. You're gambling for more and you're losing what you already have. And they always give me a dirty look and tell me to mind my own business. One lady actually said she was going to call security. So I just went back and ate more pie. But you know, the point is, the point, folks, is look, everybody wants to have comfortable clothes. You want to be warm in the winter. You want to be cool in the summer. And you don't want to be hungry and you want to be healthy. I get that. I grant you that. I want the same things. That's not what we're talking about. You don't have to live in a cardboard box under a bridge to be close to God. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that there is moderation. There is a realistic thinking process here between what is a need and why do you want something. Do you really need it? Do you actually have to have it? It goes back to having a safe car to drive and you're healthy and you're happy and you're meeting your bills and you're hoping for a raise and you don't get to go to Pizza Hut with everybody else at work. You're going to eat your lunch. But I promise you, if thank God that you have your health. If you thank God you have your health and that you got to work on time and that you have a job in this economy and you do have a lunch you made yourself and you're thankful for it, I promise you, it's going to come back to you in buckets. Because
yeah,
you're comment on this for me. Help me out here.
Well, I want to share here with those scriptures that I gave, because BJ, it really comes down to much is given, much is required or expected. There's a responsibility with wealth and with finances, and I know sometimes that we've presented, especially in churches, people have presented messages that are so contrary to that. In fact, the messages seem to indicate that you're more spiritual with the more things that you have. Even though people would never admit that, but that's almost what comes out. So this is very important to hear this. It says, this is Jesus talking, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, BJ, back in the Bible day, there's a gate in Jerusalem that's called the eye of the needle. And you can't get a camel through that particular point of the gate. So he's saying it's easier to stuff a camel through the eye of that gate than it would be for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And to break that down, what he's trying to say is not saying that a rich man can't go into heaven. He's saying that riches become a real possible snare to most people, where the more you have, the more you buy, the more you're interested in wants, instead of just being thankful for your needs and becoming a resource for God, you become more of a resource for your own lusts and your own pleasures and your own desires. And we already saw from Mark chapter 4 where Jesus said a person that lives like that will find that their prayers will never get answered. It's because they get swallowed up in this world. Now, he's not saying that it's wrong to have finances. He's saying it's wrong to be in love with your finances, to be in love with money. In fact, Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Think about that. And I know, BJ, you've got a comment for that, because this is really powerful stuff when you think, okay, money, it's not wrong.
No.
Have money, but at the root, it becomes the root of all evil. Are you kidding me? How responsible then are we supposed to be with it?
Well, it goes to this. It goes simply like this, okay? You can literally walk around with a loaded gun in your pocket your whole life. You can walk around with a very sharp pocket knife in your pocket your whole life. If you never take the pocket knife out and open up the blade, if you never take the gun out and point it at somebody and pull the trigger, nobody knows you have them. They're just basically dead weight that you're lugging around that makes a funny shape in your clothing. They don't harm anybody. They're not truly a weapon. They're not doing anything wrong. If you have a few extra dollars, there's nothing wrong with doing what you want with it. That's not what we're saying here. But if you have genuine needs, if you have bills that need to be paid, if you need school clothes for your kids, you need to take your dog or your cat to the veterinary for yearly shots, if you know that there's someone that even $20 more worth of gas in their tank would make all the difference till payday. If you don't look at things spiritually friendly, then it's wasted. And asking for more isn't why. So that you can make bigger mistakes, that you can have more waste
with
it.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense, because we've talked about grace on this show. And I keep telling people that the biggest mistake that you can make about grace and about the anointing of Christ is to think that it is special, that it's important, because grace isn't important and grace isn't special. Grace should be like the multi-tool in your pocket. There used to be a television show called MacGyver, where this guy was a government secret agent and he didn't carry a gun, and all he had was a Swiss Army knife, and he'd get into all kinds of perils and all kinds of dramas, and he would come up with all these inventions and things to save the day and be the good guy with the white hat and put the bad guys in jail, and he did it with a pocket knife, and his pocket knife was always there as a screwdriver, a scissors, a knife, a little saw. It did all kinds of things, a magnifying glass. It just did everything. That's grace. Grace is supposed to be used and abused and is to be as ordinary as your favorite pair of socks and underwear. Because that's what grace is supposed to be. It's supposed to be so much in your life, and that you use it for so much, and that you enjoy it, that it is as accustomed to you as the hair on your head or the shadow behind you on a summer day.
Right, right.
The sheer fact that you think grace is special, the sheer fact that you think the Holy Spirit is special, keeps you from them. It's nice that you think that you, if you love your father and you think he's special, are you going to treat him any different, or do you want to treat him like your best friend and be with him all the time?
Right.
It's about, are you keeping Christ at an arm's distance away? Are you ignoring your spiritual power? Because if you are, then you are going to be prone to making worldly flesh mistakes. You know, Satan has no power. He was defeated by God. Jim's going to tell you about that in just a second in Scripture. So if Satan doesn't have any power and he doesn't have any tangibility and you've got problems in your life, then who is responsible for that?
Right.
You are.
Yeah.
You're
very much so.
You're creating thing. You're continually stepping in dog poop, and you're asking God to clean it off your shoe. And the Holy Spirit is saying, don't keep stepping in it. Go around it. Back this up with Scripture. Please help me. It's your show. Say something.
This is good. Well, I'm going to give you this scripture. I think it'll cut right to the heart of what we're trying
to say.
There's
a scripture
here
about dog poop?
Well, I think you'll like it. It says here in Matthew, there's some scriptures about that. Paul gets pretty specific about some stuff that all of his study and all of his theological training, he said, is kind of like a dung heap. But anyhow, Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the word mammon, folks, means riches. So Paul's trying to say you can't multitask these two. It's one or the other. So you might say to yourself, well, again, you sound like you're against people having money. No, we're not against people having money. We're showing you how that society has completely distorted our view of money and really promoted man becoming very hungry for things, for status, to live a certain way that is beyond what you might call normal or necessary. And these things are in the earth. And if you don't guard your heart against these things, you'll find that they will absolutely come against your relationship with God. It's like if I could use an analogy as well. It's like saying, well, you know, I love to fish. Our family, you know, we go bass fishing, and our family has at least 3 to 4 meals a night with bass fish. I mean, we love bass. We love fishing. And I bought a new bass boat. And that's awesome. That's great. That's wonderful. But with much is required. So then you have to ask the question, is the bass boat becoming a hindrance? You say, well, what do you mean? Well, do you find yourself saying, you know, I don't really care to go to church anymore because I'd rather be out with my friends on the bass boat? And then you look at yourself and say, okay, so is the bass boat now something that is in the way of your relationship with God? And the answer to that would be yes. So with finances, there's nothing wrong having it. Jesus said, it's the love of money, which is the root of all evil. He said to a rich man to get into the kingdom of God, it'll be difficult only because riches provides avenues for you to become distracted. This show is all about helping you to release yourself from distractions, have great clarity with the things of God, and have a deeper relationship with God, where prayers being answered go beyond, like BJ said, like I've experienced myself, where you don't have to pray so much for yourself anymore. You just walk in healing. You walk in deliverance without having to actually pray about it.
A perfect example of this is for my whole life, I've been working horses. It's 11-to-1 ratio. For every man, 11 women own a horse. And you're going to see the point of this in just a second. Now, after working with people's horses, and it's an 11-1 ratio, and usually the wife is home, so I've spent my entire life with women holding their horses and their children's and their husband's horses. And when it comes down to issues in their marriage, when it comes down to financial trouble, when it comes down to divorce and arguments, and when I say, what's going on? And they say, well, he's never home. He's always working. And I says, well, that's good. He's responsible. And they say, well, we have a vacation home, and we have a pontoon boat, and we've got all this stuff. And it comes a point in a relationship when people have been married for a long time, somebody is going to say that those material things, I wish we didn't have those. We were so much happier when we were broke. We were so much happier when we were younger. And it's not that they are old and gravity has taken place and everybody needs Botox and plastic surgery to look in a mirror without feeling embarrassed. No, the point is the reason they say we were happier when we were younger, we were happier when we were broke, and I wish he didn't work as much, is what they're saying is it's about time. And it's about energy, and it's about perspective. Where is your energy? Where is your perspective? And where is your time? And the point of this is that these people want their husbands and their fathers home. They want them to spend more time with the family, and they would gladly live in a smaller house and not be able to take as many vacations and not have new school clothes every month if they could just have more family nights, more family time. Now, let's talk about family time when it comes to you as a spirit being. If you're worried about earthly, fleshly possessions, don't you think that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, don't you think those three guys are just sitting there with their fingers and their toes crossed saying, I wish they would come home and spend more time with the family? I wish they weren't as focused on those worldly material possessions because I will take care of them. That's what grace is. Grace is a parachute. It's a first aid kit. It's an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet. It's a jack that will jack your car up when you got a flat tire in the pouring rain. It's everything that you need. But the only thing that keeps grace out of your life is when you turn yourself and your energy towards the world and not towards Christ. Now, help me out. Back this up.
1 Timothy in chapter 6, verse 17 and 19 says, this is Paul talking, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And in fact, there's a great statement right there, BJ, because he's not trying to tell us that there's no enjoyment in this life. But notice what he goes on to say. He says this, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Notice that the emphasis of the reason why the riches were so awesome is because they were using them for the kingdom of God, distributing to people that had need, doing things with them that would promote other people's well-being, where people could make connections with God. And so, again, it comes back to responsibility. And there's a great scripture in the Old Covenant that tells us that God gives us power to gain wealth, that he may establish the covenant. And so there is such a need for us to see. And BJ, I really think you said it the best. I'm just reiterating what you said just a moment ago. But there's such a need for the body of Christ to, of course, not be afraid of wealth, not be afraid of an abundance, but such a need for us to have our priorities and our vision on Jesus Christ, where the grace of God can provide spiritual enrichment in your life. There's such a need for us to be careful that money and the things of this life don't come into our lives and steal our time, our emotions, and the intent of our heart, where when we go to God, we're flat and lifeless.
Right.
This is a really important subject, and I trust people have understood it. What do you think, BJ?
Yeah, it's like what I told you. I says it's really interesting, and people, and this really, when someone, see, a lot of people want to challenge me because I haven't been saved that long. I don't look like a Christian. I don't talk like a Christian. I don't act like a Christian, but yet my prayers are always answered, and I was paralyzed, and I'm walking, and so, I mean, I don't necessarily talk the talk, but I'm walking the walk, as you well know, and they like to challenge me, and you know, and they never know what to say when I tell them this, and you like this, you always smile when I say this. Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that when a quote-unquote supernatural miracle happens, and by the way, I hate those terms, when something happens that's obviously grace, or someone that doesn't have a problem going home and being with the guys and connecting with heaven, why is it always someone that is dead broke, destitute, and poor, or they're very young, a child, or they're considered extremely old, a senior citizen? I'll tell you what they all have in common. Why it's easy for them to connect with their Father, with Christ. It's because they're quote-unquote not in the game of this world. A child is just playing and going to school. They have no dramas. They don't have any issues in their life. It's they're basically just a well-evolved dog. They sleep, eat, and go to school and play. And what does a person that doesn't have a lot of money, that's almost homeless? Well, they have no distractions. Because they don't have any bills, because they don't have any money, they can't buy anything that would distract them. So they have what? All kinds of free time. And what does a senior citizen have? Been there, done that. They have a whole stack of t-shirts in their closet that says, been there, done that. They have spent years accumulating things that they don't use anymore, that they don't care to use anymore. Well, you have a golf cart and golf clubs. Yeah, I had those custom made. It cost me $1 million. Haven't played golf in 10 years. Don't even think about it. Just in the garage collecting dust. Well, what does that tell you when somebody says that? Or when a woman says, wow, you have the sewing room. Oh, I used to sew every day. I haven't sewed in years. But they have amazing relationships with God, and they have amazing testimonies. Why? Because these three groups of people, and I'm going to add a fourth group in just a second. These three groups of people have something going for them that you can have going for you, but you have to work at it. And that is they're disconnecting themselves from day-to-day worldly life. And the last group that is disconnected because they have no choice but to be disconnected is someone that's laying flat on their back in a hospital room. Because they're away from their friends, their family, their pets, their home, their job. They don't get any decent food in the hospital. There's nothing good on television. They can't sleep because when they do fall asleep, they turn the lights on in the middle of the night and give you a sleeping pill, which is totally ridiculous. And everybody's laughing and saying, yeah, that happened to me. And because it does, because you're disconnected. Folks, either you're going to be disconnected from Christ or you're going to be disconnected from the world. This is sharp and it's absolute. Jim, back this up.
Well, that goes back to the verse that we gave. Well, you can't serve two masters. You either hate the one and love the other, or else you'll be loyal to the one. This is Matthew 6:24. Or you'll despise the other. And then Jesus went on to say, you cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money. Well, as I know we're getting close to closing some thoughts out, I did want to bring this scripture to light for everyone, because you can be very, very confident that God knows ahead of time everything that you need. And everything that you need, if you'll put your trust in the Lord, you'll find it will overwhelm you. You don't have to be worrying about the fact, well, I just feel so depleted now that I'm listening to BJ and Jill. It's like I can't have anything. Folks, listen, you know, the deal is once you begin to really spend some time with God, all of your desires will change. That's a given. The closer you get to the light, the more you see His light. And when you see God for who He is, it'll really change the way you look at this earth. So I want to share this scripture. It says in Philippians 4:19, Paul wanted us to be confident that God would meet all of your needs. And it says this, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hudson translation said it this way, and my God on the scale of His wealth will fully supply in Christ Jesus your every need in heaven's glory. God wants to supply your need. God's grace is there to make an abundant supply of everything that you have need of in this lifetime. It's just that the world has so distorted the things we think we need from wants that we become sometimes, well, many times, greatly distracted. Take what you've heard tonight, and I'm going to pray a prayer here in just a second. I want you to take what you've heard tonight and begin to let this go over inside your heart for a moment. And just begin to see if the Lord wouldn't help you to look at your life and do an evaluation. Are there areas of my life where I'm so caught up in things of this world that don't serve my relationship with Christ at all? In fact, is it possible that some of those things are the very reason why I seem to be disconnected? Then how important really are they? And this is the point of our discussion tonight, that your relationship with God can become clearer and clearer and clearer the less distracted you are by this world. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I want you to just allow God to touch your heart, because tonight's message was important for you. Father in heaven, everyone listening around this world, throughout all the United States, I pray that you would open their eyes and give them spiritual understanding, that they would understand who you are, that the eyes of their heart would know the real reason why they're on this earth, that you would give them understanding when it comes to the world, to see it as you see it, not to be deceived at all by the way the world is distracted and distorted. Make this night a night where each one of us is able to do an inventory of our own heart and come up with the equation of how we can turn from the world and allow grace to lead us right into the very relationship our hearts have always wanted. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You know, folks, I want to leave you with this thought for a second. We've talked about disconnecting from God or disconnecting from the flesh in this world. Think about your own family and your own friends. Some of you may feel real destitute and alone trying to achieve the relationship with God that you want. Maybe you're a mother or you're a wife or you're a sister, a daughter or a husband or a brother or an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent or just a friend. And you take the time to listen to this show and you read Jim's books and listen to his CDs on his website. And you go to a building and you cross your fingers that it's a church and you're spending this time. And think about what you want out of your loved ones and your friends that I just described. Because when you are connecting with God the way you do, and you don't want to do it alone, you want to enjoy this with a friend or a loved one, you're literally asking them to disconnect from the world and connect with you towards God. And so if you have the ability and you have the desire to ask someone else to disconnect from their world and their fleshly wants and focus and concentrate and choose their spiritual needs, then shouldn't it be even easier for you to do that for yourself?
Yeah.
It's a question. I want you to think about it. I want you to listen to this show at least once or twice more this week, and I want to do something that we haven't done before. We have so many people listening in Germany, in the United Kingdom. We have a lot of people in Canada and the Virgin Islands and Panama and Norway and Singapore and Sweden and India and Spain and France and Taiwan. I want to say hello to you. Jim knows that you're there. I know you're there, but what's really important is the guys know you're there. And grace is there for you. Use it like your favorite screwdriver, your favorite blanket. You should use grace like it's your best toothbrush you've ever had. Use it every day, all day. Jim, I think it was a good show.
Yeah, I'm real pleased with the topic that we discussed. I think it's really important for everyone. I know it's important for me.
Well, I'm hoping that we get some emails, that somebody emails us at the email, or we get letters about this, because I'd be real curious to see how this works for people. Well, I guess while you were doing the show, your family went out for ice cream without you.
They did. They went to Cold Stone. So I'm going to have to catch up, I think.
All right. Well, we're going to let you go and drive careful coming back. And I'm glad that we got you on the phone, because I think it was a good show. You have a good night and take care of yourself. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Jim Huckaday Show. And by the way, this next week, he's going to be at the Bridge in Bixby, Oklahoma. He's going to be ministering there and laying hands on and healing people. You can go to his website, which is linked to the show's website. You can find out exactly where the Bridge is, and you can see him there, and you can check out that stuff. And have a good night, and you too, Jim. Good night.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.